Well, let's take a peek at the power. This morning I'm going to be speaking on the power of a covenant heart. The power of God's covenant love and God's powerful heart towards us is amazing. I'd like to show it to you in Scripture so you have this revealed to you in a very significant way. Let's take a look at the overhead today in Leviticus 8:22. And I'm going to explain this as we proceed a lot about what God is doing in our lives. He's going to reveal some things to us about the power of the blood of Jesus this morning. Okay? The power of the blood of Jesus Christ and what that blood actually has done in our lives as believers. The power of the blood of Jesus. In reference to the power of God's covenant love for us, this is a very deep revelation, and I ask that you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you as I speak, because it can change your life. In Leviticus 8:22, and he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration, and then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And in verse 23, it says, and if you take a look at verse 23 in Leviticus 8:22, if you look at verse 23, I'm going to keep on reading from there because this is an important thing. Now, when he's talking about the ram here, if you can give me a little time here, Rachel, and put up 23 also. The ram here speaks of Christ Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of something that occurs in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. And so this ram is a ram of consecration to the Lord, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and what they did is then they sacrificed that lamb. If you get 23 up there, they sacrificed the lamb, and then what they did is anointed the ear. It's interesting. They anointed the ear. Here it says, and Moses killed it, and he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Now, isn't that interesting? You think, boy, that's fascinating that they would choose to be anointed and marked in those certain areas. But that is very true, that even as the Old Testament shows us that when they were consecrated or when they were sanctified, they were marked with the blood. We too, as believers, are marked by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that we have a high priest, Jesus, who went into the Holy of Holies, and when he died, he actually cleansed us with his blood and marked us with his blood. And the Bible says this, that markation is seen by every devil and every demon. When you ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, you literally have the mark of Jesus on your ear, on your hand, and on your foot. That's very powerful. You are marked. In the Old Testament, this was done by animals, but in the New Testament, it was the blood of Jesus that did this. And so we are marked truly by the blood of Jesus. Now, get this. You got to understand, when Jesus comes into your life, you got to know this, that you can't see the things out there. You can't see the angels, they're out there. You can't see the demons, but they are out there. And the interesting thing about this whole spirit realm is they see you, but you can't see them. They see you. They see this mark upon you because you're marked. And the Bible says that when we come into his presence, we come by the blood of Jesus. And as we walk around on this earth, everywhere we go, we bear the mark of God. It is upon us. And that's why we can trust this. Now think about this. If you had some jewelry or something, you know, once when we have our house cleaned by people that came over to clean our house, I had this ring here that Grandma Wilkie had given me. And I took this ring, and I hid it somewhere. Why? Because I wanted it. It's my property, and I didn't want it to be confiscated. I wanted it to be protected, right? I wanted it to be protected. So I took this ring and I hid it. Now, if get this parallel here. If we watch our jewelry, and I even had some watches too that I put away. If we watch our watch, and if we watch our jewelry, okay, if we are that concerned about our property, how much more is God concerned about his property? If I look after my property, and if you look after your property, now the revelation is that God looks after his property. He's got a covenant with you. He cut that covenant with Jesus, and now that blood is upon you, marking you. And the demons in hell tremble when they see you. That's the truth. They tremble. We don't understand this revelation as we should, but I pray today that you can get this revelation. And I'm going to give you a true testimony. A man by the name of Reinhard Bonnke. How many of you have ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? He's an evangelist and a minister. Came from Germany, actually. He travels all over, everywhere, holding revivals. He has probably ministered to more people than anyone on the face of this earth as far as large evangelistical outreaches. And there was an experience that he cited once that I want you to understand is a powerful revelation about how God's covenant people are watched over and taken care of. That God is watching you. You're his child. He's watching out for you. Okay? There were four witches that were actually invited in. They were actually called in to come to attend one of Reinhard Bonnke's ministry events. And all of those four witches had one goal in mind. They all decreed that they were going to be in unity, and they prayed that the enemy, the devil, would paralyze Reinhard Bonnke. That's what they did. They came in their coven, their little group, and they worshiped the devil. And so they wanted the devil to paralyze Reinhard Bonnke at one of his meetings. Now remember this. This is a good quote. Our gospel guns, you know, when you shoot a gospel gun at a dead man, he becomes alive. And that's exactly what happened in this situation. And I'm going to explain it all to you. Bonnke came out and he was ready to preach. Reinhard Bonnke was ready to preach. And all he did was walk out and say this, "Hallelujah!" That's all he said. He said it with power, with authority, and he said it because he said it from his heart. It means praise the Lord. Hallelujah means praise ye the Lord. And his shouts of hallelujah everywhere throughout the auditorium began, people began to praise. And as the anointing, he's wrapped up in that anointing, he was singing hallelujah and shouting hallelujah. The Bible says praise stops the avenger. And there was one witch that was the head witch. As that shout of hallelujah came out from his mouth, hallelujah! The witch began choking. She couldn't breathe because she had asthma. And she couldn't breathe anymore. And they had to rush her out because she couldn't breathe. And she had been casting spells on him, but she couldn't talk anymore. And she was afraid of dying, literally. Reinhard Bonnke said, I was almost ready to go pray for her because, you know, she was sick, okay? But he said, he shouted, hallelujah. And as he did that, the other three witches that were in the area, they began to back off as they saw that happen. And the reason why he knows that this is all true is because one of the witches came back. And it was actually not a witch, it was like a warlock. It was one of the four people that were assigned against him that day. They came back and they said, one of the men said, today I have seen the power of God. Today I have seen that Jesus is more powerful than Lucifer. And Reinhard Bonnke led him to the Lord at that very time, led him right to the throne of God, led him to Jesus Christ. And now that warlock is one of the most powerful evangelists, and he's sharing the word of God everywhere. That is the power of praise. That is the power of praise. I know that in my own personal life too, when someone came into my home one time, and I was in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I remember them rummaging around my property, I walked out and I shouted as loud as I could, "Hallelujah!" And he ran right out the door. Now, I know that this is true. I know that God has a covenant with his people, that he declares certain things. And he wants us to understand that he cut covenant with us on the cross through his blood, and that blood has never lost his power. And God's covenant with us will never allow us to be unprotected. The problem that we have, though, in our life is this, and I'd like you to turn to 1 Samuel with me, okay? Is that sometimes we live our life in such fear that we cannot be in covenant with the people that God has called us to be in covenant with. Even though we may trust God to be our covenant partner, we don't always trust people. And the reason why I want you to know God's covenant heart for you is so that you can love and be in covenant with others and love people correctly. Because in America, the particular platforms that an individual may stand on or the number of crowds that follow their ministry are usually how they're deemed successful or not. But that is not at all what God calls successful. What God calls successful is when we as covenant people develop a faithfulness, integrity, and character in our heart. And we have a covenant heart for not only God, but for his people. That is what God deems as success. God always checks to see if his man or his woman, the people of his pasture, can keep covenant. But it all starts with knowing that God keeps covenant with us. Because we cannot love unless we know that he has first loved us and is taking care of us. If we know that he's taking care of us, we know that God will take care of us, then we can reach out without any fear and love people. Now, some preachers still do not understand this because they're so infatuated with numbers and crowds and people, like, you know, how many people are following them, how many people that you have in the church. That has never interested me. What interests me is the amount of faith and integrity and character that are in our people, that are in the people of this church. That is what is stirring me on. That is what is moving me forward. Because covenant people abide in God's presence. We're very, very, very linked to God. You know, the word abide means to remain. And you've heard the word remnant before. A remnant is not some small elite group. You know what a remnant is? A remnant is that which is left after all else has fallen by the way of the flesh. If you have a remnant of cloth after you have, you know, used something, it's something that's left after everything else has fallen. And that's the thing that God wants us to understand, that we are his remnant. Some of us have been faithful, so faithful that, you know, God wants to reward you today. You know, people like Janine, who have been with us from the very foundation of this church when Laurel was actually baptized, she is what is a typical, perfect, ideal remnant of someone who has been faithful. Someone who has been faithful. Someone who has integrity. Now, covenant people delight in serving others. Okay? That's what our goal is. But when we begin to get jealous or insecure or suspicious, you know, that fuels the devil's work. As we become jealous or insecure or suspicious, it actually gets us into the place where we're out of control. And you never want to be out of control. You always want to be in control with the way you have your relationship with God, that it's secure, your relationship with others, that there's no unforgiveness, there's love and there's mercy that's being shown to them. See, covenant people will behave themselves very wisely. Let's look at this scripture right now. I had it, 1 Samuel, remember that one? I said 16, 11 through 12. It says, there was a man who was very important here in this story. His name is David. So we sent and brought him, speaking of David, and now he was ruddy, he had bright eyes, and he was good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one that I have chosen. Now, a little bit more about David here. Let's take a look at the next scripture in 1 Samuel. Okay? If we can look at 1 Samuel 18, let's read about how David conducted himself. Saul was always trying to hurt David. Saul was always trying to come against David. Saul is representative of the religious system in this hour. There is a religious system that comes against our lives. It's that spirit of condemnation. It's that spirit of fear. It's that kind of spirit that is so legalistic. You see, the devil is a legalist. He is. He is a legalist, but God is merciful. And if we want to understand God, we have to understand that the Lord delights in showing mercy. Okay? He delights in showing mercy. Religious people will only build relationships for temporary purposes, but later on discard them. That's kind of what happened to David with Saul. Okay? Saul was using David for his own purposes a lot, you know, to further his kingdom. But the minute the praises went forth and said, wow, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands, the minute Saul heard that, jealousy hit him, and he became very, very, very evil. So we cannot let jealousy, suspicion, insecurity ever take over. I'm really letting you know. David knew that this was the kind of man that he was under. He was working under this kind of authority. He was working under Saul's authority. But David was not a legalist. David was merciful. Political posturing doesn't work in this hour. It's just not going to work any longer. Political posturing. We've got to posture ourselves in relationship with God and relationship with others. It's not about how we look. You know, Saul was a type of that religious system, always seeking to promote himself. Religious systems are actually not at all prophetic. They will oppose the prophetic. But covenant people are actually a threat to religious systems. Okay? Religious people only build relationships for temporary purposes. And then, you know, they'll discard them if it's not going to be useful for them. But covenant people are people like in Psalm 15. Let me read that to you. And can you find that that one in Samuel and put that up, Rachel? That's an important scripture. It's about David and his covenant heart. Okay? There's a couple of them that we can read in Samuel if you take some time to put that up. There's two of them if we could find those. It's 1 Samuel 18, 5 and 14 and 1 Samuel 18, 15 and 30. Those are really important for us today. Yeah. Okay, here it is. Let me read this first. 1 Samuel 18, 5 and then 14. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And let's look at 14 then. Okay. And here again, David behaved wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 18. Now let's look at 15 and 30. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. And then verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely. This is commented a lot about David behaved himself wisely, more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. Now, how do you behave yourself wisely in a crooked and perverse generation? This is how you do it, okay? Titles and positions are not wrong in and of themselves, but the problem is this, that many people are jockeying for titles and positions instead of allowing God to do the promotion. People who do not understand covenant, though, will always try to promote themselves in whatever way they do it. We see that even in politics today, and no one is exempt from it. And unfortunately, everyone is jockeying for position and title. That's just something that that human nature wants to do, okay? But let me tell you the way of the Spirit, okay? This is the way of the Spirit, and this is the way that God wants for us to understand so that we can be Spirit people and not flesh people, all right? We want to be Spirit-led people, people of the Holy Spirit. It says, Lord, who can dwell in your sanctuary? And who may live on your holy hill? But he whose walk is blameless, he who does what is righteous, he who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, who casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath, get this, even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe. He who does these things, the Bible says, will never, ever, ever be shaken. Do you want an unshakable kingdom? Do you want a life that's unshakable? Okay? Then God's giving us all today a warning. Do not join groups with covenant breakers. I want you to remember that. Do not join groups with covenant breakers, or don't get involved with people that are breakers of covenants. Those that disdain parents, the Bible says, watch out. Okay? Those that disdain authority, watch out. We need to respect authority. Those that just, you know, are in it for their own gain and they'll discard people whether or not it hurts them or not, it's just not covenant, and it will infect you. So ask God to keep you in the place where you act wisely, not selfishly, okay? The reason you do not need to be selfish is because if you act wisely in covenant, God has promised to protect you. If you act wisely in covenant, you see, the devil is a legalist, and this is the game changer that can change you every time and that'll help you to win the war. We want to be lovers of people, don't we? We want to be able to keep our covenants, but unfortunately, many people just are in it for, you know, just the temporary gain. That's why people just hop from church to church to church, because maybe there's nothing in it for them at that moment, so they want to find something else, or they get disgusted with someone in the church and they don't want to hang around with that person anymore. Instead of working through it, walking in forgiveness, watching and see how God can work situations out for good and not for evil. You see, love covers a multitude of sins. It really does. When you're walking in love, it becomes spiritual warfare. Very, very powerful principle. But you see, this is the legal secret that I've learned. When people come against you, if they've come against you, and they've come against me sometimes, okay, because I've lived this for long enough to know that not everyone is going to be happy with what you do. It's just normal. The enemy works in a legalistic fashion, but God works in an area of mercy. And let me show you how prayer works. Because when you're involved with God, you've got to learn to be one of the strongest prayer warriors that you could ever be. That is what's going to redeem your life. You need to learn how to be a strong prayer warrior. And what I mean by that is this. There is a legal weapon that we have. It's called prayer. It's a legal weapon. And it will bring you into the covenant purposes of God. It's a legal weapon. And Jesus, the Bible says, is the high priest of our confession. God is truly our lawyer and our protector. And I want you to understand this. We try to all the time execute judgment in the battlefields of life with people, but that doesn't work. It will never work. What works is if we exercise and we come into the courts of God. We come into his courts. The Bible says we enter into his courts, what? The legal courts of God with praise. We enter into the courts of God with praise. There is a legal court that God has. He is the judge. And I'm going to show you this scripturally. Rachel, can you put this up in Luke 11? Let's look at that. Luke 11. And then you're looking up Luke 11, verse 18, and I'm going to look up Psalm 139. And I'm going to read this to you. Oh my, this is so rich, you guys. This is what's going to keep you from falling in times of difficulty, in times of trial. You know, this week, you know, our friends Bishop Swilly and Sonny, you know, they're down in Miami right now. And remember, you know, that hurricane and all that stuff that was happening. Well, I called down there to see how everyone was the day before the hurricane was going to hit. And I talked to Sonny Swilly, and she says, I'm in a day of fasting and prayer today. I'm praying and fasting. And if you recognize the fact that it's interesting, because at one other time, Bishop Swilly has had this happen, and he stood on the roof and he commanded the hurricane to leave, and it did. It moved out. If you notice, I read the reports, the hurricane hardly touched the Miami area. You see, we have legal rights to certain things, according to God. It's not because we're all hotshots either. It's not because we're good and perfect. It's because we're imperfect. And I'm going to get on to what I'm going for, and then you're going to understand how you do this. Because have you ever prayed over and over and over again, and it's like your prayers weren't being heard? You felt like it was falling on deaf ears. You'd scream at the devil. You'd hound him. You'd cast him out. You'd just do all kinds of gyrations, and nothing would work. Well, this is the secret that unlocks the power of God that I'm telling you right now. In Psalm 139, verse 16, here it is. It says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days were ordained for me. They were written in your book before one of them came to me. God says all of our days are written in the book. God has already ordained what our life is going to look like. They're in our book. They're in the book, okay? So if they're not in the book, they can't happen. And God says, I have set before you life and death. Choose life. And the Bible also says this, you know the plans that I have for you, plans for good, not for evil. Plans for good, not for evil, to give you an expected end. And what I would like you to understand here today is that the Lord alone is that righteous judge. He is the one who decrees a thing and it can come to pass. And let me show you how that happens, okay? Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to read this all through. Because here we have an incident of woman coming to God, and she was a widow. And it says she... You know, Jesus is teaching us about how to pray. One day when praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, holy is your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And then he said this, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask. God's wanting you to ask him. He's the judge. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, remember this. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, do I have that one up there? Can you put that up? Okay, then I'll find it. In Daniel chapter 10, here, let me find this here just a second. Daniel, this is a scripture where it illuminates Ezekiel, Daniel. This illuminates the way God is our judge. And it is right in here. It's Daniel 7, verse 10. I want you to see this. Just get this, okay? See this. I love this. It says, hallelujah. In Daniel chapter 7, it says, while I was thinking, I'm going to back up to verse 8. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth, as he spoke boastfully, he says, the thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Who is the Ancient of Days? That's the Lord. He is the Lord. Okay? His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. And his throne, he sits on the throne. This is God, the righteous judge, sits on the throne with flames of fire. And his wheels were ablaze. And a river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times, 10,000 stood before him. And the court was seated, and the books were opened. Now, I want you to understand that God is called the judge, the Ancient of Days, who sits on the throne. And the Bible also said in Hebrews 12:22. I don't know if we have that. I can turn there if we don't. Do we have Hebrews 12:22? Okay, here it is. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to a company, a innumerable company of angels. It says, and let's move on. It says, can we move forward anymore to 23? It says, and to the judge of all, if we read that. Okay, I'm gonna read the whole thing for you here in just a second. Boy, I wish I had my other mic. I could do this so much quicker. But Hebrews 12, verse 22, it says here, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And you have come to God, the judge of all men. Now here, he is the judge. Now sometimes we don't get this, but God has an adversary. Who is the adversary? The devil, right? We all know that. Most of us know that. The adversary is the devil. And he has a case against you. He's always pleading his case. And his case is he's actually against you. He's not for you. He's against you. He's always telling people, and he's always telling God things that are lies. He's always doing that. That's his job. He's called the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses you night and day. But the glorious thing about God is that when you come into the throne room, the Bible says, go boldly. Don't go wimpy. Go boldly into the throne room. And how do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to submit yourself to God and resist the devil. So how do you submit yourself to God? Okay, this is what I've learned. When I'm praying for other people, if you want to see your prayers answered for others, family members, etc., etc., this is how you do it. And this is what works. You've got to come before the Lord in intercession and do what other people cannot do. You get it? You do what someone else can't do. You go before the throne of God boldly and you confess the sins of your son, your daughter. You confess the sin of your mother, your father, your friend. Daniel did that all the time. He confessed the sins. You do as the intercessor what Jesus did for us. You go to the throne room and you confess their sins. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, my son, my daughter has gratefully grieved you. She has grieved you. They have grieved you. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my friend has grieved you. I ask you to forgive them. I ask you to forgive them, Lord. I ask you to wipe away and cancel every assignment of the enemy away from them. And then you may even have to do this if you've been waiting for a long time for the answer to prayer to come. You may even have to go back and do some repenting. And I do this all the time. Repent. Repent for comments that you did speaking to the, you know, speaking about them to another party, like your wife or your husband. Oh, so-and-so, you know, this kid's a mess. This kid's it's mixed up. This kid's is just a mess. I can't do anything. You've got to confess that's a sin. That's a sin of unbelief. It is a sin. And you go back and you confess that sin to God. The sins of your confessions, the sins of your words that have been spoken, that have burdened your heart and grieved your heart. And then you go back, not only confess for them, but confess for you too, because there's areas where you have not been a perfect witness to them. There's an area where you have not shown them the glory of God perfectly, and you need to. This only way, this is the only way things can work. It's through submitting yourself to God. And God knows and hears and understands all this unbelief that's going on. He knows. He knows there's unbelief in action. He knows there's worry in action. He knows there's sin in action. There's compromise in action. And so what you do is you repent of your own words, your own negative words that have occurred in this battle. And then you prophesy and stand before the judge of Almighty God and say, Lord, I repent of these things. I renew and reinstate my commitment right now with you and for those that I love. And I call into obedience those prophesied destinies that that person has. God Almighty has a prophesied destiny for each person that we're praying for. He's got a covenant with them. Those things that have already been written in the book, the destiny that they have to fulfill, they've already been written there. And so you prophesy that destiny and you say, Lord, I believe for so-and-so. And this is how you walk in covenant love with people, because how can they believe unless there's an intercessor? We need to be intercessors for others, because as we intercede for them, they will see the glory. So you stand in repentance and you bring them to the throne of God, and you repent not only for their behavior, but for your behavior. And you say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I repent of any accusation, not only against me, but against them. And grant me, Lord, as the mighty judge you are, that I can behave myself wisely, just like David. And that I will see my destiny and their destiny come to pass. Let me behave myself wisely, like David did. Now, David was always getting all kinds of attacks against him throughout his life. If you look at how many years and years that he struggled in his relationship with Saul, Saul was throwing javelins at him, literally even prophesying over him, throwing javelins at David and prophesying at the same time. I mean, seriously, you know, you've got to remember that we're in a battle, but the cool part about our covenant God is that he knows, hallelujah, that one word, he knows, hallelujah, how to take care of the enemy. We don't know. We don't have all the answers, but we do know we can shout a hallelujah. And every witch and every warlock and every curse can be broken and paralyzed and stopped from speaking. That's the glory that we have in Christ Jesus. And that's the reason why this ministry is so attacked over and over again, because my husband and I and my daughter and all of you know the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. And once we have that kind of authority, oh my good, the devils run in terror. They leave. They run in terror because they can't stand that. They can't stand to hear the glory of God. But we just have to not leave quietly. We leave in an uproar. We say hallelujah even louder. We sing praises to God even louder. We come before the throne of God even louder. We decree and declare such a thing as this. God has called us for such a time as this. And I'm here to rev up your engines today. I'm here to encourage your faith. I'm here to give you the faith that can shout unto God with a voice of triumph today, because you're standing before your judge. And once you've asked for forgiveness, the Bible says he's faithful. And he's so faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you don't have to carry around condemnation for anything that you've done. You just let that fall right off of you today. And you stand before God and say, hallelujah, I don't care how many times I have to keep repenting. I'm coming before this mighty judge, and I'm standing before this mighty judge, and I'm saying, I will get what God has destined for my life and for my loved ones. How many of you know that that's the truth? Now stand with me today, because we're going to do some declaring today. God has promised to protect us. God has promised that if we declare a certain thing, that we are covenant people, okay? We're not going to quit when things get difficult, okay? We're not going to quit. Let's stand together. Let's stand up together. We're not going to quit. We're going to move forward in faith. Insecurity, suspicion, jealousy are those threats to the covenant, all right? They're threats to God's covenant. But let me tell you this, okay? Look at this. I'm here to encourage you today. God says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's that word again. Marked out for us. There's a race that's marked out for us, and I want to run it. I want to be obedient to that race. How about you? Do you want to be obedient to it? Amen. Who, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, speaking of Jesus. He scorned the shame and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I don't want you to lose heart, any of you today, okay? Don't lose the faith. Just stand. Having done all to stand, take your stand right now. And we're going to come before the throne of God. How many of you are believing God for relatives, for friends, for family, for maybe a husband, a wife, a daughter, you know? Yeah. This is how we're going to see the kingdom come. First of all, we're going to forgive. We're going to forgive every word that they spoke against us in this battle. Every word unjustly spoken. You've been mistreated. I grant it, you probably have been very mistreated. But I want you to know today, I'm not going to give up for you. I'm standing and fighting for you guys, okay? I'm believing. And so, Sister Laurel, as you come forward, we're going to stand. We're going to believe, and we're going to fight this fight of faith. And we're going to believe to the end. The Bible says here, make every effort to live in peace with all men. So that's your part. Make every effort to live at peace with all men. That means we need to walk in love, not comment on all these ungodly things that they're doing. You know, that's the worst thing you could do, is comment on a fact or an act of behavior. You need to move on through that, and you need to see to it that no one falls into this bitter root area, okay? It's a bitter root. Just don't go there. Okay? See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We don't want bitterness in our hearts. And so, you know, if we've been facing a lot of persecution for the word's sake, sometimes it gets real easy to get kind of bitter and blame people. Well, if they wouldn't do this, well, if they wouldn't do that, well. And then you get all your undies in a bundy, and you're just tied up and wrapped up in all kinds of evil. You know what? I've learned this. Just rest in the finished work of Christ. Say what you say. Behave yourself wisely. I think David probably was very, very quiet for the most part when he was around that religious system. Okay? If you're around a religious system, behave yourself very quietly. Just show them the good things that the Lord has done. Say, well, this is what the Lord has done. This really helped me. Maybe it'll help you. I pray it will. You know, and don't get all worked up in a lather about issues and things, because some people, it takes a long time and it takes a lot of hard knocks before they listen. But today, what we'd like to do is we're gonna go right into the throne of grace, and we're gonna receive what we've been asking for, okay? The main thing we gotta do is ask God to forgive them. Have you ever done that in prayer? Have you ever asked God to forgive your loved one? Ask God to forgive them. Have you ever asked God to forgive you for commenting on all their weird behavior all the time? I mean, it's one thing to state the fact and say, well, you know, so-and-so came against me. I just can't, whatever. Just move on. But it's another thing to go, they came against me, and go on and on and on about everything. And then that bitter root just starts to, it starts to ooze out of you. Just this bitter spirit. We can't let that happen. We got to root out that bitter root, okay? Just root it out. You know, I thought to myself when I read this scripture this week, it said, how can we cast out the speck in our brother's eye if we have a log in our own? How can we cast out that little tiny little speck that's in our brother's eye? How can we do that? How can we help them if the log is in our eye? It's judgment. It's bitterness. It's unforgiveness. So we're going to ask the Lord to take that bitterness out of our heart. Okay? Let's take it out. This is a real cleansing service. I heard the Lord say it's going to be such a cleansing, purifying service where we just let the Lord just wash our heart clean. All that bitterness, just wash and ask the Lord to forgive them. Can you do that? If you're believing for a loved one, Lord, I'll lead you right now. Say, Lord, forgive them. Just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're hurting themselves. They're bitter inside. They're bitter. Lord, don't let me be bitter. Don't let me be a bitter person. Let me be strong enough so I can help people. Take this log out of my eye, Lord. Take it out. In Jesus' name. And now just praise him. Just thank him for all that healing that he's doing. Oh, hallelujah. For the most part, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has a huge log in their eye. We're loggers. We don't even know it. We're walking around with big logs in our eye. All this bitterness, this hate, unbelief. Just take that log, Lord, out of our eye so we can know how to help the little speck in someone else's eye. Just take it out. Take it out, Lord. Take it out of my eye. Let my eyes be single and pure. Let me see Jesus in people, Lord. Let me see the good and not the evil. Help me. Help me to see the good, Lord. And help me to believe that you're the righteous judge, that you're protecting not only me, but you're protecting my family. You're protecting my loved ones. You're protecting my friends, the people that I'm praying for. That wherever I go, Lord, you cover me with your holy blood, and no evil can touch me. Hallelujah. That's the truth. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Let's say that together. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Amen. In Psalm 15, that became just a beautiful scripture for me. This week, I was praying that scripture, and the Lord says, this is what the body of Christ needs to understand, that we cannot take that little speck out of our brother's eye until we get the log out of our own. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? But he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth wisely, like David did, from his heart. Even when Saul was coming against him, he behaved wisely. He had no slander on his tongue, and who did his neighbor no wrong and cast no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath, his promises, even when it hurts. You see, we're in covenant with one another, and we can't walk out on one another when they need us the most. So the only way we can do that is by continually asking God to forgive us, to take that log out of our eye, so we don't judge. The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. Judge not. Don't judge, lest you be judged. And then just ask the Holy Spirit, come right into that throne of God, the throne of grace. Amen? He's the righteous judge. And just say, righteous judge, you know how to take care of my family. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Just say that right now. Lord, you know how to take care of my family, my friends. Just do it, Lord. Just do it, Lord. Take care of my family. Just do it, Lord. I stand in faith. You're the judge of all. You're the judge of all. Oh, God, pour on your power, Lord. Do not let me be despairing. Let me be filled with faith because you're the judge, decreeing a certain thing. And God, I trust you. Let's just trust the Lord right now, amen, with our life. Let's trust him. Let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. Call unto him, and he will answer us and show us mighty things. He will show us his mercy. He will show us his kindness. Now, I believe, Pastor Tom, can you come forward today? I believe that we're going to do something very powerful. We're going to decree and declare over every person here today the blessing of God. The Bible says it starts with the high priest. It starts with Aaron. Aaron, the high priest. That's Pastor Tom. It starts with Aaron, the high priest. And every one of you has that mark. Remember we talked about that mark? On the ear, on the hand, and on the foot. And the enemy trembles when they see that mark. Okay? So wherever you go, Pastor Tom and I, Pastor Tom, who is the high priest of this house, is going to decree and declare the blessing upon you. Because you've already asked for forgiveness. You've submitted yourself to God. Now we're going to resist the enemy, and he's got to flee.
Let's just lift up our hands this morning. Just in honor of God here today, because he can do more in 5 seconds than we can do our entire lifetime. But he's also put the word of authority into our mouth. And I want to decree a blessing over all of you as you stand here submitted to his lordship, his will for your life, his plan and his purposes for you, to be willing to do anything he asks of you, to give, to serve, to love, as Pastor Lori preached today, to forgive. God has chosen to deliver us today through forgiveness. So this is not a suggestion. It's a requirement that we loose, we release those who have offended us. We release those who may have treated us unjustly. We release those who do things that we don't understand that maybe cause us hardship. Thank you, Lord. So if you haven't done that today, just release them. release them. Release them. This is for your spiritual health, your spiritual growth, your spiritual protection, your spiritual prosperity, your spiritual progress, for the plans and purposes of God. In the name of Jesus, forgive, 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 forgive. Some of you are feeling this freedom right now, and I declare freedom over each one of you, the freedom and the blessing of God to come into your life, to prosper the works of your hands, to give your heart insight and wisdom into the principles and the purposes of God, the plans of God for your life, to go to another level of power and another level of insight into what God has for you, to begin a breakthrough in your life, to be able to move forward out of the old habits, out of the old ways of thinking, into a new form of power and a new form of deliverance in your life. Holy Spirit, I thank you now. Come and touch each heart today. Ignite them. Set them on fire for you. Set them on fire with new boldness. I cast out all shame. I cast out all rejection. I cast out all discouragement now out of your lives. And I thank you, Lord God, for supernatural confidence and boldness as they walked through the streets into the marketplace and their jobs through their homes. They know who they are in Christ. They are seated with him in heavenly places. The power of the Holy Spirit resides on the in them. They've been given the name of Jesus. They've been cleansed by the blood of God. Their house is built on the word of God, and no storm shall come and cause that house to fall. And Pastor Lori and I stand in agreement now for those areas of their life that they've been praying for, to come into agreement for those open doors, for those breakthroughs, for those answers to prayer, for that strength and healing, for that peace of mind, for those family members to begin to see the light, to begin to come into the plans of God. In Jesus' name.
Give him praise now. Everyone, thank God. Amen. He is so good, and his mercy endures. I know Pastor Tom has spoken to you a little bit about Wednesday nights. If you can come out at all on Wednesdays, please join us. It's going to be very important for your benefit and for the benefit of our nation that we continually see the good things that God